Well, Merry Christmas, everyone. Isn't it Christmas already? I mean, if you look in the malls and the commercials and everything you see on television, the rest of the world is pretty much assumed that Christmas is here. So Merry Christmas, we might as well just give in. And of course, I'm still digesting my turkey. So that doesn't make sense, does it? No, it's not Christmas yet. The church actually today celebrates the solemnity of Christ the King. And the last week before, or liturgical year before we begin Advent next week. Not Christmas, Advent. Advent is a time of preparation as we prepare to greet the Christ child. I think so much of what the Catholic Church does is help to bring reality to the world, but a lot of times it doesn't make sense. You know, I was just looking at our wonderful choir over here, all dressed with our like little chair, little angels over there. And our little ones, it's so great to see, and they prepare, and the songs that they sing, and just the so much of the Mass is just, to the world, it looks so different. You know, so maybe misunderstood, and what the Catholic Church does and represents. And some of the ways that we even approach our Lord in the Catholic Church, the titles that we give Him. In the season of Advent, we'll talk about, you know, the Wonder Counselor and Emmanuel and Christ, you know, the Lord to be with us. In the Mass, we talk about the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, and He's the Prince of Peace. And the Good Shepherd we hear in other parts of the year, the gates, the way, the truth, and the life. So many of these descriptions of Christ, titles that He has. But to the world, I think, is lost on them. And the church can seem like maybe out of touch with reality. That's why the world is out there celebrating Christmas. And the church, we're like holding the reins. We're like, hold on. We still have Christ the King that we're going to celebrate. And we have the 4 weeks of Advent in preparation for Christmas. And so, you know, how do we make sense of this? And I think having right perspective. And so today I'd just like to look at one particular, you know, title that we have of our Lord Jesus as Christ, the King of the Universe. That's the feast we celebrate today. And to really just look at that today. And so I found this funeral homily that this priest gave. You're like, he's going to talk about a funeral at Christ the King? Yeah, it helps me to make sense of this. In the funeral mass, it was at this mass, there was a woman there who had, there was a lot of people. The church was full. And the priest was sharing that this was a woman of great faith, and that she seemed to be, you spend so much of her time, every waking moment, it seemed like, doing things for others, serving others. And so as the priest shared about this woman's life, he talked about the fact, you know, she visited local jails and she visits the sick and she was very generous to the poor. But then he said this. He said, her life only makes sense because Jesus is real. Her life only makes sense because Jesus is real. Now, again, I think in the world out there, I'm not quite sure, you know, we walk outside these doors, if the world has a good sense that Jesus is real. And so I think that's why the church has to, as we celebrate days like this, to underline and emphasize the importance of who Jesus is, and today as King of the Universe. So the priest was continuing on. He says, if Jesus isn't real, this woman who they were burying that day, her funeral, if he said, if Jesus isn't real, then her life makes no sense. Now think about that. He said she was accepted to a prestigious university. She had turned it down because she felt the Lord was calling her to serve those in need of food and shelter. Why would you do that? He said. And then he said, when she returned after her serving the needy, she was offered a high-paying job, but she turned that down because she wanted to work a low-paying job for a nonprofit organization that was much more fulfilling. And then the more he described her, he said things like, her brother, he was murdered. He said, instead of being full of hate, which she very well could have been, she wasn't. She felt called by the Lord at that time in her life to start volunteering ministry and serving in the jails. And she raised 3 children of her own and adopted 2 special needs children because she said she felt like the Lord gave her enough love to share and bless all of these kids. And then lastly, her husband, the love of her life, when he died, she was strong because she had an even deeper love for our Lord Jesus in her life. So all these things throughout her life pointed to the fact that Jesus was the Lord of her life. He was the King of her heart, King of the universe, but he was so real to her that it impacted the decisions that she made. Her life only made sense because Jesus is real. And so if you look at the world by popular, you know, kind of thinking out there, her life would not have seemed much of a success at all. She could have chosen an easier path, but she didn't. By worldly standards, she didn't have much, but that church was full for her funeral. She had decided that Jesus was so real that she's going to see him in everyone, look for him in everything, and serve him in every possible way. And so the church was full that day because her life was full. Full of service in love of our Lord Jesus, who is Christ the King. Now, King is an interesting word. In our culture, it means all kinds of things. I mean, I've seen commercials for the Muffler King. You ever seen that one? We have the Mattress King, right? We have Burger King. We have Elvis. He's the King of Pop. So lots of kings out there. So let's just clarify, the King of the universe as applied to Jesus, the feast that we celebrate. Can you differentiate? Can you make that distinction of who Jesus Christ is as King of your life? So maybe the priest at that funeral had the best explanation when he said that Christ is King. When he said that that woman who was able to see Christ in everyone, who served Christ in every way and looked for Christ in everything. See, Jesus was the love of her life. Jesus guided her life. Jesus' wisdom shaped the choices of her life. Jesus was her hope and her strength and her reason for living. Her life literally made no sense without Jesus. She would have looked probably pretty foolish to those who didn't know her motivations. What? Give up a prestigious university to work in some third world country to serve the poor? Why would you do that? Work in a jail system with those criminals? One of which who probably murdered your brother? Why would you do that? That seems insane. Have you lost your mind? Even family members probably could have questioned her. Her life literally made no sense without our Lord Jesus. But because she chose to make our Lord her King, she looked at the world and life and everything in it very differently. You see, that's how our life is. And I suspect you're here today and every time you come to Mass because you see the importance of setting aside the world for a second and its distinctions of like, well, it's Christmas already, to come back to reality and to say, you know, Jesus is the Lord of my life. And I'm going to pause and I'm going to go to Mass and worship him and receive him in Holy Communion so that I can stay focused on Jesus and continue to make him the Lord of my life. And when we do that, we see our Lord is present in everyone, and that everyone is a son and a daughter, a beloved child of God. You know, I think about even the pro-life movement and how the Catholic Church continues to stand for life, born and unborn. And in the world, many times that does not make sense. The world says, oh, you should be able to choose. When the Catholic Church says, yeah, we choose as well. We choose life every time because Jesus is the Lord of life. And he is the Lord of my life. And when Jesus is the King of our hearts and reigns supreme, then we live our lives according to him and his standards, not according to my own making, rules of my own making. Now, I believe it is easier at times to see, well, or say that Christ is not our King. In many ways, the world says, well, you know, he was a good guy. but to see him as our King, the one whom we worship, the one who we imitate, that can be difficult. Because so much of the world does not see Christ that way. Much of the world just sees him as a good guy who lived some time ago. He did good things. He helped people. And that's pretty much where they leave it. Because it's very comfortable to leave Jesus at that, you know, kind of belief. But to say he is the Lord of my life, he is the King of the universe and the King of my heart, and he reigns supreme, he influences all of my actions, the things that I do and don't do, well, now it's very different. Now, you may not be called to give up everything and move to Africa to help the poor. You may not be called to take a low-paying job or work for a nonprofit organization. You may not be called to work or volunteer in a prison or adopt needy children. You may not be called to any of those things, but you are called to become a saint. We all are, to follow our Lord Jesus, to love as he loved, unconditionally, even those who maybe have hurt you. And that's not easy. As a matter of fact, sometimes we've been hurt very greatly. And it's very difficult. And I suspect sometimes it might feel impossible on your own. And maybe it is on your own. But with the Lord Jesus, all things are possible. When we make him the King of our hearts, then he helps us to love as he loves. It's no longer us, but Christ living in us. Able to see Christ living in others. And we relate to people very differently when we have Christ in our hearts. We see the world very differently. And I think of, like, we have so many incredible people, men and holy men and women have gone before us. I hold up Mother Teresa often because so many of us know of this little Miss Nobody from you know, nowhere. You know, don't even know where she's from, but here she is, this incredible saint who what? Who served the dead and the dying as people would throw rocks and sticks at her and make fun of her and call her names and tell her to knock it off. And she refused because why? She saw Christ in those people. Christ was in her heart, and she saw Christ thirsting for love in those people that she served. And she could not help but want to reach out to them. In a few moments, at the end of Mass, you're going to hear Sister Monica speak. She's been here many times before, but some of you are new. You've never heard her story. It's a beautiful story of how her and her religious sisters reach out to thousands, literally thousands of young people who are being trafficked in different parts of the world. Trafficked by very selfish people for very evil means. Young girls. And she goes to places and her sisters go to places that we wouldn't even dream of visiting. To find these girls and take them out of dangerous situations and to bring them into safety and to educate them and to help them. Why does she do that? Why do her sisters do that? Because Jesus is real. And he is Lord of their life. So, I'll close with this. Everybody here has something or someone that controls your life. You may not like to be called a servant, but you know what? We all give our lives to something. Whether we realize it or not, something controls our life. We serve something, someone. Think about it. Some of us are controlled by fear at various times in our life. And because of that fear, it controls you in such a way that you turn to inappropriate relationships. You seek out internet sites that are completely contrary to God's plan. They're totally immoral. But because of fear, difficult situation in your life, you look for some escape. And so those things control your life. Some of you are controlled by loss of hope for the future. How does that look? Well, people who work and work and work because, you know, there's just so much hopelessness. Like, I don't know if I'm ever going to get ahead. And just feeling this kind of tension that the job, you know, work is not bad in itself, but it becomes so much a focus for people. That's all they live for because of lack of hope and trust. Some of you are controlled by anger, right? And just a split in an instant. Somebody upsets you in such a way and it sends your life in a completely different trajectory. And Satan's lies tells you, well, you're supposed to hate, right? Because that person wronged you, you're supposed to wrong them back. And we see that again and again in our culture. I'm not telling you something you don't see or have maybe experienced in your own life, how anger affects so many people. So many people in our country are impacted and letting anger control their lives and determine their happiness. rob them of their happiness, really. So we're all controlled by someone or something. We all serve something. Our lives are shaped by some kind of guiding force, some core reality. But every once in a while, we meet someone who gets it. We meet someone who is striving to see Christ in everyone, to love everyone because Jesus is real. That's what it means for us to say that Christ is King. And wouldn't it be wonderful that if at every one of our funerals, the priest would say, his life, her life, only made sense because Jesus is real.